it became time for me to look for another opportunity. And I took that chance. I took the risk rather than just applying for jobs and then finding something else. I decided to set up my own business with the copywriting.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Many people have a passion, yet never think that it could actually turn into a career. Today's guest, Suzanne Freer, was no different. That is, until she discovered the world of copywriting. In this episode, Suzanne shares how she made the transition from corporate world to running her own copywriting business. We explore the challenges she faced, the importance of understanding your audience before crafting your message, and insights into crafting compelling copy. If you too have a burning passion, then this episode is for you. Suzanne, welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
It is an honor to have you. Now, you are someone that's plugging in from England, and I'm all the way over here in California. So I just have to start this out by saying, how amazing is it that technology has allowed us to be on two completely different continents and still connect?
Yeah, it's amazing. But then I'm thinking, you know, don't jinx it because anything could still go wrong.
Ain't that the truth? Technology, like, it's one of those things where we love it, but sometimes it does not always work in our favor.
Exactly. This is too true. Very, very, very true.
Yeah. So Suzanne, for those people that maybe are not familiar with you, I'm just going to start with that big old age question. Like, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, who are you and really, what do you do?
So I am a creative copywriter. So I work predominantly with small businesses, although not exclusively. And I help businesses create and achieve a connection that is authentic and resonates well with their target audience through their copy on websites, through newsletters, blogs, case studies, anything you can imagine. If it comes down to words, then I'd love to help.
Now, and I know you said it comes down to words. And I know that on your website, you mentioned that you've always had this love of writing, but you saw it more as a hobby rather than a way that you could actually financially generate an income for your family here. So what did you do prior to copywriting? Because I know that you kind of took a different direction before moving into this space.
I did. Yeah. Like you say, I've always loved writing. It's something I've done throughout school when I was younger and even down to writing lengthy illustrated letters to friends when I was younger. Everyone said that I had a penchant for writing well. Yeah, I guess I didn't know what to do with it. I never thought of it as a real way to make money. And I wasn't given that confidence as a youngster to sort of take up the banner for writing as a profession. I guess I thought the only thing I could do was try and be an author, which is so hard to do, to make real money out of that. So it just never seemed possible. So, you know, I followed quite standard sort of routes of education, and I ended up working in European financial policy over in Frankfurt in Germany for the past 20 years. That's what I've been doing. And whilst I enjoyed my job, it was a brilliant opportunity. I loved living in Germany. It's been brilliant. It just didn't fulfill me. It didn't give me the joy. I had no ambition to better myself. I didn't, you know, have any dreams for the future. So when things changed due to Brexit, which I'm sure you've heard of in America as well, it's been great fun, brilliant fun. The rules have changed with Brexit, and then obviously following COVID and the pandemic, different rules came into place regarding how many hours can be worked from home, which is something I did a lot. I'm based here in the UK and I was commuting back over to Germany. And so it became time for me to look for another opportunity. And I took that chance. I took the risk. And rather than just applying for jobs and then finding something else, I decided to set up my own business with the copywriting. And it's been less than a year. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And I'm so glad that this is something I've done both for me and my family. It means I'm around for my family. And it's been absolutely fantastic. And yeah, it's exciting.
So exciting. And I think what an incredible opportunity that you had to be able to work in a different country for so many years. I think that alone just gives you different perspectives, different ways of thinking about things when you're surrounding yourself with different kinds of people that have maybe different upbringings than we had. So personally, I know I'm just always so excited to talk with someone that's from the UK because I personally spent time in London studying abroad. And part of the reason that it took me there, it was because I had the opportunity to be able to get an internship. And that alone, just being able to work with people that grew up a little bit differently than I did, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It just gives you so many different perspectives.
Absolutely. And which is so important in the modern world, isn't it? Just to broaden our horizons and see things from a different point of view. It's so important. You know, we're not all the same. And that's the beauty of life. Brilliant opportunity to be able to meet so many different people from so many different countries. Where I worked, it wasn't just German. It was very, very international, very European. So people from absolutely all over Europe and beyond. And yeah, I was really lucky to have that job. And I thoroughly enjoyed it the entire time. And I've made some brilliant friends who are still over in Germany or some that have left. But yeah, we try and keep in touch and keep up to date with what everyone's doing. But yeah, brilliant opportunity.
That's amazing. And I know you spent 20 years there, but you said that even though it was a really great opportunity, you met some incredible people, you had great experiences, there was something that was missing. What was kind of missing within that career that when you had the opportunity to start something of your own, you knew that you just had to go for it?
I guess it was the idea of just doing what I loved. I'd always used to talk to my daughter about having a dream job. I remember many years ago, she must have said, what would you love to do? And I said, well, I'd love to be a writer. And, you know, we chat about things and she talked about her dreams. And when it came to it last year and I quit my job and she said, well, what are you going to do, mummy? And I said, oh, I'm going to be a writer. And she jumped up and down and clapped. She said, oh, mummy, I'm so pleased for you. I'm so excited. You get to do your dream job. That's so good. And it made me realize how important it is that to have that excitement, to have that love for something you're doing. And to show her that it's possible that, you know, you can do your dream job. You don't have to go down these regular alleyways or what any teacher tells you you should do. Absolutely follow your dreams and do what you want to do. And now I'm excited to start work on a morning. I work way more hours than I did do before, but I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, the time passes so quickly and to the point that I'm like, am I doing this right? Am I supposed to be enjoying it this much? Am I doing this wrong? Yeah, I couldn't be happier right now. So,
oh gosh. I mean, how sad is it though that we have to have those thoughts in the process? Like, am I doing something wrong? Because I'm actually happy. I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm waking up excited to be able to start the day.
Exactly. It doesn't seem real, does it? The way that work is portrayed throughout the media and everything, it's just everyone trudges off to work in a suit and tie. No one's very happy about it. And the kids never see their parents, et cetera, et cetera. And then actually, no, I'm loving life. I get to work on my own terms. I get to take the clients I really want to work with. I get to see the kids in a play last night straight after school, which I wouldn't have done in a job. So I feel very, very blessed at the moment for everything I'm able to do.
And on top of that, you're setting an example for your children that it is possible to go after your dreams, that while you may have thought of something as just being a hobby, there's actually a way to monetize something like that and to actually have passion in what you're doing. So speaking of kind of taking that idea that you've had as a hobby with all of your writing and turning it into an actual revenue stream, like how did you kind of reframe your way of thinking that, no, the writing really might not make sense financially to, no, I'm going for it and I'm going to make a living with this?
Yeah, I have to say it was the people around me. I was really, really lucky that a few years ago, I took a course whilst I was on maternity leave with my second child. And it was to train as a social media manager or marketer. And I was able to meet an awful lot of people and learn an awful lot of stuff about social media and obviously the marketing side of things, which wasn't something I'd done any sort of education in before. And at that time, we learned within cohorts, they were called. And so I met a lot of brilliant people who, like me, were just trying to sort of find either a new side hustle or a way to sort of work for themselves around their newfound family. And what I found was that actually social media wasn't for me. I didn't get the joy from it at all. It's a lot harder work than we think it is. And if it's not something you're into, then you need to outsource that. That's my advice. But I met so many great people that I watched go off and work hard at what they wanted to do in these jobs that you never thought would be a lucrative way of making money. And so through them, I made contact. I did a little bit of work here and there, just the odd blog or the odd newsletter sequence. And having these very first clients and people saying to me, you are good at what you do, you can do this. And giving me that self-belief is what put me onto the next level of sort of finding a few more clients and doing it a little bit more on the side whilst I was still working full time in Germany. And then, as I say, when it came to sort of August, September last year, and I knew things were changing, I was really lucky to find Teresa Heath Waring online, who has an online membership called the Dream Business Club. And as part of this membership, you not only get this fantastic coaching from Teresa, who's got so much experience, and she does mindset sessions to really change how you perceive what you're doing and to push yourselves forward and reach your goals, but also the community of her membership has been life-changing. It's like having my own little group of cheerleaders, people just really believing in you and wanting to see my success. It's just so refreshing. You don't get that so much anymore, or even at all. And I think it's something we need to capitalize on. We need to really cheer each other on and give everyone a chance and believe in each other and show that your dreams can be what you get to do. You know, you're allowed to dream and you're allowed to make it a reality. And I absolutely think it's the people around me who got me to where I am. So
also, you play a huge factor in it as well. So I think it's really important to surround yourself with just amazing humans. And I think community is a great way to do that. Every single woman that I've spoken with that has joined a community has seen so much growth, not only just from a business perspective, but also personally, because it just provides you with another level of thinking about things. And it really opens up your network here. And I know you mentioned Teresa. Teresa was a guest on the podcast and just this delightful human. So she has this amazing community that I know of, and I can speak and really validate what you're saying, that it really is life-changing, the things that she is putting out there. But it sounds like even before you joined Teresa's community, you were actually dabbling in copywriting services while you were still working in your corporate job.
I was, yeah. I had a side hustle, even though, you know, we're not loving that term anymore, are we? It's just call it an extra revenue stream. We can call it that. But yeah, I'd been just a little bit on the side, quite often just for friends. It really wasn't making very much money. I would never have been able to quit my job just off the back of those clients there. But it was just to keep my hand in, because like I say, I love writing. And so it's strange. I never gave myself the time to sit down and write for myself. Whereas if someone asked me to write for them, I would clear the decks and I would make sure I had the time and I would really get into it and enjoy it. And that's something I'm trying to work on a little bit, just do some more writing for myself, just purely for the joy of it. But it's like a muscle. You have to exercise it. You have to carve out the time. Someone said to me, I should employ myself. I should treat myself as a client. And that's the way to find the time to do it. So maybe I should listen to that.
That's good advice. But something that you said earlier, you talked about how people's feedback really gave you the self-belief that you could do something like this. So I think that it was really smart that you had your corporate job when you were still working in Germany, you were testing out the waters, seeing what was working, and you were really gaining the confidence and the self-belief that you could actually turn this love of writing into a profession of yours. And you eventually obviously put in your notice and you made the transition. What did that moment feel like when you decided that you were going to go all in?
So the decision itself was really exciting and I didn't doubt it. And when I first decided that's what I was going to do, it was more the last day of work when I suddenly thought, oh, this is it. I'm not going to get a paycheck next month. That reality was quite scary. Yeah, there was a healthy mix of excitement, trepidation, fear. But still, I think excitement won out. And that was the main thing. The idea of I get to live it on my terms now. I get to design my life, my day, my week, and how I want to move forward and to build something that was all about me. I think I realized that since I'd been a kid, I'd wanted to own my own business. I didn't know what that would look like. But I remember looking at my parents who went off to work, you know, 9-to-5 jobs and thinking, no, I want to be the boss. I want to be the one that runs stuff. And that had never happened. So the excitement of being able to do myself, that's what spurred me on. That's how the first few months looked. And to be honest, it still looks like that. It's still quite fun. I have my own business cards and I look at those and I'm so professional. I've got a business card.
Well, you have made it happen. You are the boss and you are living life on your own terms now. And that's just, to me, I believe that's like my ultimate dream, is to be able to be financially free by working for myself and for myself, just because of like what you said, it's the freedom to really be present for your family. I mean, you were able to go to the play yesterday after you stopped. And in the corporate world, sometimes you don't have the flexibility to be able to do that. You mentioned it was scary, and I'm not going to beat around the bush. Like, it is terrifying, but sometimes the best things are just on the other side of your fear.
Absolutely. I have a friend who says we have to move out of our comfort zone and into our brave zone. And she's so right with that. You know, you can't have bravery without fear. You can't have one without the other. So you have to move through one to reach the other. And it's absolutely worth the magic. Absolutely happens when you just push forward, push through that imposter syndrome that we all get, however we choose to identify with it or name it. But we all just wonder, like, we look around at everyone. Everyone else seems to be absolutely acing it. And what are we doing here? But we all have a talent. No one does what we do, how we do it. And we need to believe in ourselves and listen to that little voice inside that says, yeah, come on, you can do this. This is going to be amazing. Just give it a go.
Yeah. And I truly believe that if you have that voice in there, it's really there for a reason. We're doing ourselves a disservice if we're not listening to it. So listen to it, work through that fear. And like you said, move out of the comfort zone into the brave zone. And you mentioned imposter syndrome. So as you were moving into this new journey of yours, like, did you suffer from anything where you felt like you were an imposter?
Oh, absolutely. I still suffer with it. It's a regular thing. It's just learning to deal with it differently and to use it somehow. But I still have this, like, almost every time I send out a piece of work, which I've worked on, I am proud of, I've gone over it, I've edited, I've proofed it, I've redone it, I've checked it, I've read it out loud, I've read it silent, I've done everything. I send it off with my fingers crossed going, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. They're not going to like it. Who am I kidding? And they come back and I'm not just, you know, showing off, but I've never had a bad feedback from a client, which is amazing. But even so, whenever they come back and they're like, this is brilliant, it's exactly how I sound, it's exactly what I'd say, or I know this speaks to my clients exactly, I'm always like, really? That's amazing. It's trying to move through that and remember the last time you felt like that. Think, come on, you know, believe in yourself. It's such a strange thing. I was advised, I think, by Teresa probably, to have what she calls a love folder. So every time you get good feedback, save that to your love folder, whether that's a physical folder if you get cards or notes or emails online and things like that. And just go to that every so often when you're feeling low or you're feeling like you'll never make it or that you can't do this or any of those insecurities, and refer back to that. And that's helpful. But then again, you don't want to do it. You're like, oh, it won't happen this time. But it's just your inner voice. The brain is very clever at trying to protect you from stuff and stop you moving forward. But imposter syndrome is real. But yeah, you've got to use it to move forward, to make progress. You've got to stick with it and use it.
And I ask because I think that we all hold ourselves back, because a lot of us do suffer from imposter syndrome and we never move past it. But if the more that we bring this to light, to be able to show that we're all having these self-doubts, but we're working through it, I think that's really important to share. Because like, a lot of the times, I mean, I know social media wasn't necessarily your thing, but on social media, people are posting their highlight reels. So you think that everyone has it figured out, but we're all struggling with the same things.
Exactly. It's so true. Well, more and more people are showing up and saying, actually, yeah, I do find it hard. They're being vulnerable. But even so, in general, everything's got a lovely filter and everyone's absolutely bossing being a parent. And their business is flying, and how I made 7 figures in 1 month, et cetera, et cetera. And you just sat there going, I think I build, you know, 3 figures this month, you know, and I'm glad of it.
As you should be. And I think the love folder, as Teresa calls it, is genius. I have one myself, but I've always called it a brag folder, but I actually like the term love folder better. So I'm going to definitely steal that from her. But it really is important to be able to remind you on those tough days, because there will be tough days, that you are doing something truly transformative and life-changing, and that's making an impact. So being able to be able to refer back to those in those darker times, I think that's really important to do.
Exactly. It's too easy to get stuck in the mindset that, of course, in theory, anyone could write. You know, we're all physically taught how to write at school. We're all shown, you know, the essence of making a story. Many people can go on and do marketing, you know, create a passage of text that could sell. But at the end of the day, there's people who they may be able to write, but if they don't have time or they don't enjoy it, it's not their passion, it's not what they love. And those are the people that I want to help, because it's like, you know what you want to say, let me help you get it down on page. And so I might not be competing with people, but I'm still helping people. And that's where we've got to sit with ourselves and believe in ourselves that we're helping people.
Absolutely. And speaking of good writing, let's just dive into a little bit more about copywriting in general, because I mean, this is obviously the core of your business and really where you're helping mostly small businesses here. But why is copywriting so important for these businesses just in general?
If you don't have great copywriting, if you don't elicit an emotional response with some compelling text on your website or through your marketing text or however you communicate with your audience, how are you ever going to connect with them and sell your product? So it's really important with any kind of copywriting that you are making that genuine connection so that your audience feels seen, heard, understood, that you know what their pain points are or what they've tried before and why it's not working, how they feel about that. And before you start selling them any benefit or solution that you have, it's making that connection and building a relationship with them so that you can go on. And whether it's through free help that you have, so whether you have, you know, a downloadable freebie or a lead magnet, as we call them, or whether it is through paid work, you have to build a relationship. They have to trust you first before they're going to take your advice or pay you for any of your services. And it's so important that the copy, that's where it can get you. You know, anyone can write anything down, but if there's grammar mistakes or spelling mistakes, you're going to turn a lot of people off straight away. But two, as I say, it's that emotional connection. It's making text that comes together and resonates with your target audience, won't be my target audience. We all have a different one. And it's knowing that person and making the connection. And that's why good copy is so, so important.
And so basically, when someone goes to your page or reads any form of your copy, whether it's that freebie or your newsletter, whatever it may be, you really want them to be able to picture themselves in that copy. You want them to have that experience to be able to understand what you're talking about and to really see themselves in that copy, essentially. Because that's where the connection is built and the relationship is built and the trust is built, like you said.
Exactly. You have to imagine it as if you were talking to someone you don't know so well at a networking event or even at a party. Let's say it's quite a relaxed party so you can hear each other talking. The music's not too loud. If you go in with a hard sell or you're not making sense, you're not going to build a relationship. You want to go in and be interested in them. Find out about them. Don't just talk about yourself and create that empathy. With the written copy, you can't make eye contact, which is a brilliant thing for creating a connection. So we have to bridge that gap with brilliant, brilliant language and making a connection through getting to know them and building a relationship. We have to do that in that way.
So I am curious, because I know you said we have to be interested in them and really build that empathy. So how can we really make sure that our writing really is being made to be interested in them?
Okay. So the first thing I would suggest is you sit down, you define your ideal client, your target audience. And that is something you would do on your own. You work through who you really want to work with and why. And it's not just demographics. It's not just their sex, their age, where they live, etc. It's so much more than that. It's where they are in their business journey. It's what their pain points are, like we've said, but also, as I've talked about, what they've tried before and how they feel with those frustrations when things haven't worked. It's important once you've done that, and you've identified people, if you're able to, if you can get out and speak to people, or if you have a couple of clients already, really talk to them, find out why they chose you, what their problems are, and what the solution that you provided, how it helped. And one of the great things to do is make a note, really make a note of the language they use, especially when they're explaining to you their pain points and their frustrations, because that language is something you can use back in your copy, which will automatically resonate with the people you want to reach. Because by interviewing just a few of your clients or people that you would really love to work with, by talking to them and gathering their information and language, you can already start to build some language to turn back to them with the copy that you write.
Oh, that's so good, because I've definitely heard of being able to really identify that target audience, but I love that you're taking it a step further and you're really going back to connections, really making sure that you're connecting with your people, asking them what they're kind of going through, how they're feeling, and using that language in your copy. Because, I mean, sometimes one of the mistakes that I make is I speak in my own tone. So have to bring in other people's tone as well. So that way they do hear and they see themselves in my comments.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an ongoing process. This is not something you should never, especially with a website, for example, you might create it, but and then just forget about it and just think, oh, well, that's done. That's great. That's off my to-do list. That's brilliant. But it's an ongoing process. So you've got to go back to your website. You've got to update it. You've got to make sure that the language is still accurate for who you want to reach. And whether that's done by rejigging the whole thing or through blogs or through offers or through freebies, it's ongoing. Keep renewing that connection. Keep letting your audience know that you're still listening. You're still there. I'm not just sold to you and gone away. I am still here to find out about you. I'm still invested in what's going to get you success. And I want to see that for you.
Well, and you bring up a good point too, that it's not just a once and done type of thing, like set it and forget it. Copywriting is constantly evolving. Like you have to continue to update your website and your blog posts and everything like that. And that's a lot of work for a small business owner to have to take on by themselves.
Absolutely.
So to be able to work with someone like you, even if they do enjoy writing the copy, which some people do, some people don't, it's just so much that you have to think about. So that's really where you come into play because, I mean, this is what you specialize in. This is really where your main focus is. So I know when you work with people, you're doing things like content creation, you're doing the newsletters and the sequences, the case studies, just the website copy in general, their sales pages, you even do editing and proofreading and content strategy. I mean, the list of what you offer is pretty extensive because that's what really small business owners are going through, but there's only one, usually one of them to go around.
Exactly. How many hats can you wear? One of the things I did talk to some of my prospective clients that sort of said, if you had all these business hats, because obviously you are the marketer, you're the CEO, you're the founder, you're the maker, you're the creator, you're the networker, you're on the phones, you're doing the photography, you're doing everything. If you could let go of one of those business hats, which one would it be? And it's interesting, you know, the different answers, they don't all say copywriting. I can't say they do, but it is such a big one. And there's so much to think about. And I was in the same position when I first started my business. Until you get into it, you haven't a clue of how much goes into running a business and staying on top of it. You know, visibility is one small part of it, but it's such a big part, if that makes sense. So maintaining this communication, you know, serving your email list weekly, fortnightly, whatever works for you, a monthly blog or a weekly blog, making sure that your website is up to date. You've got case studies where you know, you want to speak to your clients and find out where their journey has brought them to and how you've helped. And sales pages that really speak to people that converted. It's huge and it's still just a small part of the overall picture. So as you say, even if you love writing, not everyone got into business to be a writer. So if you can outsource, if you are in that luxurious position of having the cash flow to be able to do it, it's definitely a recommendation. Take some things off your plate, whatever they may be. If you can take off one of those business hats, pass it on to someone you trust, you connect with yourself, and you really believe wants to see your success as much as their own, then it's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself, just so you can focus back on what you love and what brings you joy and why you started your business in the first place.
I completely agree. And through my conversations with a lot of women, that's what they've all said is like the second that you can outsource, like choose something that maybe doesn't bring you the joy because there's no way we can do it all. There's only one of us. And many of us have come from the corporate world where we specialized in one thing and all of a sudden we're taking the leap into entrepreneurship and we're not only doing the tasks that we used to do, but we're doing literally all facets of the business that the corporation usually took care of with their dozens and dozens of people, whatever size company you were at, doing it all. So it's just impossible to be an expert at everything. So to be able to bring in someone that can help you elevate your business and really, I'm going to use your words that on your website, but really making your brilliant business shine, that is really going to help set you apart from like kind of mediocre to like extraordinary.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not just having an expert take care of something for you. It gives you the time to really focus on what you've started your business for. So whatever creative or business solution you started your company for, you've got more brain space for it. You've got more focus for that, which is where you will find your joy and your success.
Definitely. And I have to ask because I know you focus on small businesses and you're not just working with one client, you're working with many clients. And obviously every business is different. Every business voice is different. So how are you really making sure that your voice is kind of a chameleon with your writing, essentially?
Yes, exactly. So what I have for myself is a brief crib sheet for each of my clients. There's an avatar, if you like, of who each of my clients speak to or how they speak. So for example, I've worked with quite a large jeweler. And so I've got pictures on there of, you know, high standard brands of jewelers and stuff so that I know that that's the mindset I'm in when I talk to them. I've also got small excerpts of what I've done for them or examples of words that they like to use, words they don't want to use, how they term certain things, because sometimes they'll write in numbers or they'll write in words, you know. And so I have a little crib sheet that just brings me back quite quickly into that mindset of who I'm talking for, who I'm speaking on behalf of. And they're not big because there's no point in having too much information. You're not going to take it in each time. So it's literally just a little A5 sheet with some pictures and some words and a small excerpt. But it's just enough to bring me back to remind me who I'm speaking for.
Oh, that's so good. And I know you said earlier that you haven't had an unhappy customer yet. So I'm going to knock on some wood. Yeah. I'm not going to jinx it for you. So we're sending out all the positive vibes. But I think that's a testament to just the quality of work that you're putting out, the genuine, like authentic human that you are, that you really just want to make sure that you are bringing the connection and the relationship and the trust that you're looking to bring into these people's copy as well.
This is it. And my client's success is my success. If it's not working for them, if I've not created a passage of text or a blog or whatever that works for them and is making them maybe not direct money. You can't always see directly how much I might have made for them. But that connection, if they're not saying it's working, then I'm not doing my job properly. You know, it's not something I could just do it and I forget about it. You know, you maintain a relationship with your clients. You hope they'll come back again. So yeah, I truly want to see my clients succeed. And quite often I become friends with my clients anyway. You know, you work with them over a period of time, you get to know them and they tell you themselves what they don't love doing. And that's where you can step in and help. And so, yeah, I tend to build quite lovely relationships with most of my clients as well, which is nice.
That's so good. And like you said, when they succeed, you succeed. So it's really like kind of what comes around goes around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the joy. That's the absolute joy of it.
Absolutely. Speaking of success, I know you had a great career within the corporate world. So I'm curious just to understand, like, what did you think success meant to you back then versus what do you feel like it means to you today?
So I think back then, especially when the larger chunk of when I worked within the financial institution, I wasn't married to my husband. We'd been together a long time, but we were young and free. And I guess it was money to go on holidays, to treat ourselves to meals out, drinks out, things like that. It was definitely much more of a monetary value on success. But now it's success is balance. Success mm-hmm. is happiness. And it's wanting to get up on a morning. This is really sad. It's enjoying going to bed early because then you can get up early in the morning. You know, it's those smaller things that is a sign of success. It's being, I'm not just happy with my lot. I'm over the moon with what I've got right now. And I don't have a big house and I don't have the fanciest car. I don't, you know, wear Louboutins wherever I go in the street, but I am happy with what I have. I have success in that I get to do what I want. I get to work the hours I want. My job is something I love. I get to take my kids to school, pick them up afterwards, go to their sporting events in the middle of a day or straight after school, like I say, going to see their theatre show. These are the things. It's the balance between work and life and bringing in the joy and the happiness. And that's what success is now.
And I'll just piggyback off of that even more, like to add to that with your daughter said earlier that she's just so happy that she gets to see you living your dream. That to me would be, I mean, I don't have a daughter myself. That just gives me the chills in general.
Exactly. I think it's really important because I have a son as well. And it's just as important to show him that he can do whatever he wants to do mm-hmm. in life. But I do think, you know, for my daughter, who for so long in our society, it's been that husband is the breadwinner. But for mum to be going and doing what she really, really loves and not just doing a job she absolutely has to mm-hmm. shows my daughter that she can do what she wants, how she wants, and her life can be on her terms. You don't have to follow a pre-drawn path that anyone sort of has in mind for you. She can do whatever she wants. So,
goodness, this is just so good. I love this. Now, I think that's a really good segue just for female entrepreneurs in general, because maybe your daughter wants to go the corporate path, which is totally fine. Maybe she wants to be an entrepreneur just like yourself. But if you can maybe like speak to your daughter and yeah. like give her advice for her future. And okay. what kind of advice would you give her if she was going to go into entrepreneurism?
Wow. I would say, first of all, I would say don't rush. I would say your passion will find you. And like I say, I never had great ambition when I was younger. I didn't have this idea in my mind of what I really, really dreamt of doing. I just knew I loved doing something. But we're all told that we had to find a career quite early on, you know, and choose your exams and choose your education path. So I would say to her, first of all, take your time. Don't rush. What you love will come to you and you will recognize it. And if it becomes something she wants to do with entrepreneurship, if she's going to start her own business, then absolutely get out there and smash it. But give yourself some space and give yourself a little bit of financial stability, because I'm lucky in that I do have that. Otherwise, I know through other means that the bill will be paid each month. And this is a huge thing. It's great to follow your dream, but don't risk absolutely everything. Keep doing your day job whilst you're working your side hustle to get that going. Or if you've been lucky enough to have investments or other ways of having some money come in, brilliant. But financial stability has to be something that's high up on your list as well, which is a real, you know, realism thing. And it brings you smashing back down to earth, because we'd love to just follow our dreams and do what we want. And wouldn't it be wonderful? But money, unfortunately, does make the world go round, and we do need it. So take your time, play safe, but also take the risks. I don't know how that works. I'm not sure about how.
I totally understand what you're saying. Yes. Now, and I've talked about this a lot. I think that not only do you have to pay the bills, but by having another stream of income, it allows you to be able to reinvest in your business. It takes a lot of the pressure away. And a lot of the yes. time when we are creating something and there's a lot of pressure involved, it just doesn't happen as organically. Sometimes if you just don't have to worry about the bills and the finances, it just flows and yes. you can just be at peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a luxurious position to be in, of course.
Yeah.
You know, having a salary job or however it works, even if it could just be, you know, you're working your ass off at a bar job to get the money in. You know, it depends what you're doing, because everyone is totally different. But it's so important to have that. And it's, yes, it's luxurious. If you're in the position where you don't have anything and you've got to give it a go and you've got to make it work, then fine. But work, work, work. And it will pay off. You will find a way to find those right people. You know, have faith in yourself. If you're good at what you do and you enjoy what you're doing, you'll find a way. But give yourself space when you can.
There's always a way, but definitely give yourself space. And going back to Teresa, she also on her interview with me said something really beautiful as well, but also you also need to give yourself grace. So space and grace.
Yeah. I mean, we should get that on a t-shirt. Oh my
yes.
God. That's yeah, absolutely. Space and grace. Be kind to yourself and give yourself some time. Just absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree with that.
Well, I guess the folks heard it first here. So when they see it on future t-shirts,
exactly.
It goes back to Suzanne.
Just for you.
Suzanne, this has been such a wonderful conversation. If people wanted to learn a little bit more about what it would be like to work with you and just dive into your copywriting services, where could they go out and find more?
Well, yeah, I would love to hear from anybody that's interested in just finding out more about me, or if we could work together, as you say. So you can find out lots about me on my website, which is www.suzannefreer.co.uk. On there, there's everything I do. There's plenty about me, that my prices are laid out there as well. But there's also lots of ways to get in touch with me. So you can drop me a message or book in for a call to have a quick chat over Zoom. You could book in to have a free homepage copy audit of your website done, which I will send you a short video and just run through any small changes, if any, that you may have a wonderful web page and not need any changes. But that's also a really good free thing that I'm offering at the moment. So if anyone would like to take a look at that. Otherwise, I also have a freebie on how to drill down into your dream client, which we've talked about today quite a bit. So that's downloadable and you can work through a workbook that I've put together, which will help you define the language to really connect with your audience.
Amazing. I will put all of that in the show notes. So that way everyone has easy access to all these wonderful freebies and great takeaways here. But I'm going to take it back. Just like you help shine a light on other people's businesses, you have just been an absolute shining light in today's conversation as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Well, thank you so much, Megan. This has been so much fun. I've loved chatting to you today. It's been great.
Copywriting is all about storytelling, and boy, did Suzanne share one good story. Throughout this episode, Suzanne emphasized the importance of understanding your audience before crafting compelling copy. By truly connecting with your audience's needs and emotions, you can create impactful messages that resonate and drive action. So remember, whether you're just starting out your own business or refining your copywriting skills, always put your audience first. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready to start telling your story? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.